All right, guys, we're back. We're live with episode 16 of the Contractor Compass podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about just scaling the business in general. I was actually talking with the guys before this podcast today. We've been off for a couple weeks. Tom's going to be leaving us here for a couple weeks after this, but we got all the guys together today. We were kind of brainstorming what we wanted to chat about. And today, we're going to be talking about scaling in general, knowing when to grow, you know, when to hold steady, when you've saturated an area, when you haven't. Yeah. I think we'll all be kind of able to lean in on this a little bit. So I think there's, I mean, good Lord, there's 100 different factors we can look at when scaling, right? From my world, that relies a lot on paid ads, right? I mean, that's just my world, right? So there's other things, right, that you guys are going to be able to bring to the table to talk about, you know, Tom, from just your experience in your partner company. You know, and then obviously Jace, boots on the ground, scaling these companies, helping them do so. So Jace, I'll kind of let you start out as always. We like to let you fire off. And then we'll kind of create a framework and hopefully touch on multiple different factors of not only doing it properly, but knowing when to do it, knowing when not to do it. We could talk about capital on hand. We can talk about a lot of things. So
absolutely.
I'll let you kind of set us off.
Yeah. So I think, this is one problem that, a lot of companies that will run into, and they kind of bounce their head off the wall trying to figure out what's happening. And what they don't understand is that they're actually in a really good position. They just need to now scale, and they don't know it's a scale problem, right? So they're like, man, we're a lot of people, if they keep asking themselves, hey, we're not getting enough leads, that can be a scaling problem, right? You're kind of saturated just in one area. So you need to watch a heat map and see where all your revenue is coming from. If you've been in one location for a very long period of time, you're probably saturated in that market, depending on the population and things of that nature. So, I mean, if you have, you know, anything over, I'd say 25% of your revenue coming from just two or three zip codes, you need to start to scale. You're not really visible anywhere else. So when I say scale, that means you need to start taking, getting in line or getting in contact with somebody that's really decent in the marketing world. Somebody like a Colton that can take you and say, hey, listen, here's some systems and processes. Here's a few ideas and strategies that we need to start implementing to really start getting you visible in some other zip codes. Yeah. That's going to allow you to start to scale. Some people don't understand that. And I work with clients. I got a client that's in New Hampshire, and 40% of their revenue comes from three zip codes, and it has for 40 years.
Yeah.
And they have had marketing company after marketing company after marketing company come through. And they're like, man, nothing changes. I said, dude, you're number two, number one every time you Google your name. It's not a marketing issue. It's not a keyword ranking issue. Yeah. I said, it's the fact that you just have outgrown. You're capped out where you're marketing to. I said, we now have to implement a new strategy to start to scale. That's going to help you scale, right? So once that starts happening, then they start seeing another influx of leads coming in. Like, oh, okay, well, now I can start bringing in more technicians. I can start bringing in more.
You say that's just pushing into like different areas, different, like getting up satellite locations.
Yes.
I mean, it just pushing into, you know, different suburbs of a big city that you're in or whatever. Is that more what you're keying in on there?
Yeah. 100%. Cause a lot of times people, they have decent marketing. I don't want to say decent marketing, but they have some sort of decent marketing in place. Cause a lot of people, they'll spend a ton of money. Like I'll take this client for instance. First thing I noticed when I walked into there was that we had a pretty big issue with just not enough lead volume.
Yeah.
And then you got to start to peel back the onion, right? You got to peel back the layers. And it's not just, hey, we need to throw a lot more money at something. It's like, okay, well, how much exposure are you getting in a certain area? What's the population and what's the medium income? Like, let's look at these few factors. So then we start looking at that, and I say, man, 40% of your revenue is coming from here. Let me just check you out. Let me try to Google you. And you're pulling up 100% of the time between your LSAs, between your SEO, organic. You've been in one location, right? So you're coming up on the top every single time. Okay, we don't need to keep throwing money at the same problem. You can't go any higher. You're at the ceiling in this part. So what we need to do is get you more visible. Let's move over to this zip code and start getting ourselves a little bit more exposure. That's going to help you build your customer base. And that's going to then obviously translate to leads. You're going to be able to just, you know, it's a rinse and repeat process at that point.
Yeah.
In so many words, there's a few nuances you got to do, and I'll let you speak to that to get there. But But that's how you, that's typically the number one problem I see when I get into these companies that are ready to scale.
They
don't know, and they spend so much time and energy out of
where they're already at, and they can't.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not there. Yeah, that makes complete sense. I actually, recently there was a company who, guy is super aggressive, and he was buying Google My Business locations and putting up satellite locations in aggressive areas and really, really pushing, and he was a younger guy, so he kind of had it all tied in pretty well, right? He had a good idea kind of what he wanted to do, and he'd been running the company for a decent amount of time. But yeah, you're right, like knowing when to do that, because keep in mind, a lot of these guys that are starting, you know, not everybody's going to be, this is their fourth business that they're exiting. Right.
It's right. Like, exactly.
It's their first one. They're not sure. I hit stuff every day that I don't know how to do. Yeah. Right. Like we're even on our side, we're dealing with that scaling issue, like getting to the size that we are now. That's all new for me.
Yeah.
Exactly. To manage all that. And, you know, and knowing when to go forward and when to hold back and when to, and then you got to wrap, there's a lot to wrap into it. Right. Cause then you got to wrap in. How much are you scaling and can you handle the labor side? Well, then you have to look at hiring, right? Like,
exactly. And
everybody knows how goddamn hard that is.
Yeah, 100%.
So it's like, it is a lot. I think so. One big thing, and this isn't necessarily a detail, right? Because once again, I haven't been boots on the ground in a home service company to scale it, right? Like boots on the ground. I'm just the marketing side, right? This is your KPIs, right? This is what makes sense. This is what your ad spend looks like. This is what should happen next, right? They know more internally what's going on. They're not asking me about their employees and who they should hire and what they should do. They're already making those decisions. My point, what I was going to say, I think that this kind of just goes back to make your learning curve as little as possible and just find somebody who's done it already. And
100%. Don't spin your wheels, right? I mean, correct. A lot of people can waste so much time and then they start to venture into the frustrating point and then they start to venture into the burnout phase. Yep. And you could have had a lot more fun. It could have been a lot more exciting for you,
correct?
Because you saw progression and progress, and that's the reason why. I mean, you relate it back to people trying to work out and get fit. It's not going to happen overnight, no. Yeah. But you stay in the gym for 90 days, you'll see a little bit of a change. People are like, man, 90 days—that's a long time. It's the same thing in business. You got to hang in it for a minute to really start to see this thing pick up. Some people, if you're listening to your YouTubes and your infomercials, that's social media, right? I mean, it's not real life. And you got those lucky pockets. Sometimes that happen, but I gotta have to grind it out, put the work in. But that is big. So that's that portion of it, right? And then again, but to your point, hey, am I ready to scale? Watching your capacity. My rule of thumb is 125%. And when I say capacity, I'm meaning jobs to technicians, right? If I have X amount of jobs and I'm having jobs drop off, I'm not gonna instantly jump to hire people. If I have a few calls dropping off here and there, I'm going to wait for 2 months. If I run 125% capacity or higher for 2 months, that's when I'm going to start to bring in new technicians, because now I know the business and the lead volume and the support system is there to make sure these guys keep working, right? Because you're messing with people's lives. You don't want to hire.
Exactly. Yep. Absolutely.
So that'd be just a little beginning take on that.
Tom, to bring you in here on this a little bit, what have you seen just in the growth of Air on the Clock or other things as well? What have you seen in terms of like that transition and knowing when, because that's a big ass company.
Mike Lang is the general manager of Air Around the Clock. And when he was new with Air Around the Clock, he heard of a business that is shutting down and that somebody offered him a chance to go over there and bid on some equipment or whatever. And he went over to them and says, what are you doing with your phone number? He's like, I don't know. I don't need it. And he started buying up phone numbers from closed HVAC companies.
Yeah.
And he said the first one he did, he paid them like $5,000 for the phone number. And he doubled his business the very next week.
Yeah.
And so, I
the hell was that company doing wrong that they shut down?
I don't know, but
follow up
puts a sticker on every unit they service and then with the phone number on it. And so the phone, and they were doing a bunch of new installs as far as a new construction. Yeah. And then they just shut the system. They shut their plant, their company down. and the phone just started immediately ringing off the wall. So now Air Around the Clock has over 1,500 phone numbers that are connected that they've got.
Yeah, that's massive. And that's a quick way. So one guy that kind of was my mentor back in the day, he runs about a $250 million company. And I asked him, I said, dude, how did you get so big so quick? He did this in like 25 years.
Yeah.
I'm like, how'd you get so big so quick? Cause that's fast.
Yeah.
Cause I have companies I work with been around 40 years and they're still at 5 million. Right.
Yeah.
And he goes, man, he's like, you got two options. He's like, you organically grow or you acquire. He's like, I acquire.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, that's the fastest way to grow.
I wasn't sure what direction you were going there, Jace, but I wasn't going to cut you off. I was going to say just buying the phone numbers. That's a way to acquire your way to.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. That's a more, I don't want to say, that. So I'm going to say you can acquire an entire company through acquisition, or you can do the poor man's acquiring and buy phone numbers.
Oh, yeah,
that's dude. Actually, I mean, that's a really good idea to go around and buy. I mean, you pay $5,000 for a phone number. The return on that is ridiculous. Bananas. Yeah, come on. So
that's sick. We might have to cut that out. I don't want people knowing that.
Phone numbers are being bought up.
That was a little too good of a nugget, Tom.
I might have
to take that one out of there. That might be.
Yeah. Dude, his GM is going to be calling him tomorrow. You better cut that out. He's like, dude, you just gave that secret out? No. Well, we'll make sure we get that out for you, bud. Unless the people on live catch it. But yeah, that's huge, man. That's a huge win. Yeah, that's a quick way to build your business.
So, and this is kind of an open-ended question, because one thing we were talking about before jumping into all this was one thing we were talking about, it was just over text messages. You said, you know, knowing when to grow, and you mentioned you're at 125% capacity. That's when you want to do that. Are you gonna time it with seasonality? So obviously we're talking about the HVAC world, right? We're talking about every now and then I'll talk about insulation, right? But we're talking home service in general. If you have a busy season, if you're seasonal, right, whatever, are you timing it? What time of year are you timing it?
Yeah, so you're going to find, and this comes back to a really good point you made, Colin, is going to be the labor market, right?
Yeah.
You have ebbs and flows in the labor market. In the HVAC world, your February's, April's, March time, that's when you start seeing a ton of resumes coming out, because a lot of companies will go through that downturn and that shoulder months, and they always pull the trigger way too early, and they start firing guys, and they start letting them go, or quote unquote laying them off, right? Yeah. And even though April is a good turn into spring, they are so unsure of, depending on where your location is, they're so unsure of what the market's going to do for them. So year after year, I see this. So if I was to grow, I would definitely watch seasonality, but you're gonna want to stick around the seasonality of the labor market. And it doesn't match with what the busy season is. Correct. When it's the busy season, those guys are already taken up. They're already working somewhere. They're getting their full 40 plus overtime. They're not interested in really going anywhere else.
Yeah.
And that's when a lot of companies will pay good money to keep people around, because they know it's busy and they know it's worth the return. Yeah. It's during the slower seasons when everybody starts looking around. So you're gonna want to start bringing on some people. You're gonna have to bite the bullet, and you're just gonna have to trust in the process, and know that you're gonna be ramped up and ready to go for when busy season does come around.
Correct. That makes complete sense. One thing I was gonna say too, I think it makes complete sense. But one thing I was gonna say that I think people get in a bad habit of, it becomes so they get into their slow periods, right, and then they let all their people go. And that almost becomes like the norm.
Yeah.
Like they see it coming. They're fine with doing it. And when you look at, and I don't, this is just me thinking, right, openly. If you look at scaling, that is going to have to stop, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's not sustainable. Yeah, you can. Yes, I have heard of companies hire like crazy and then cut the weaklings. That is a different story.
Yeah. Right?
That is not the same. But like getting out of the habit of like just over dropping everybody, you pick them up after, right?
Yeah.
Like you're not going to be a $10 million, $20 million company doing that.
No. No, the culture on itself is going to be horrible.
100%. People are going to know you're turning burn. They're not going to want to work for you anyways. Yeah. And even if you say, okay, you're great, I'm going to keep you, like they might just say, oh, I know. Like they're going to know about you and they're going to help.
So, and a lot of times, so their business model, we have a lot of them, usually the big corporates, and what they do is they pay 150, 125 for their leads, right? And they have some really good field coaches or managers in place. It's typically broken down to your field coach or your managers, and then your field coaches, the one boots on the ground out in the field with you guys. And what they do is they just then hire a ton of apprentices. And you have all these newbie green people getting into the field, working for them. And then you're overworking your field coach who's making $125,000, knowing he can't make that nowhere else. So he's locked in.
Yeah.
And that's really where that becomes a problem. But then all these apprentices, man, they're resume. I see it all the time. There's three companies in our area that they do that. It's literally clockwork. I'll see the same exact name at the top every single time. And that's exactly what they do. And it's usually somebody who's only got about a year to 2 years experience. It's always the same thing. But yeah, on that side of being able to scale, culture is going to be a big part of it. People aren't going to want to stick around with you if you don't have a really good culture. So
100%,
you know, you got to have that game in place.
It's actually almost impressive how people underestimate, because everybody's there. Why do you go to work, right? You go to work to make money. Yep,
exactly.
Right? But sometimes people almost put too much value on the dollar that they're getting. And I'm not telling you to not pay your people. You should pay them as much as humanly fucking possible.
Yeah, especially nowadays.
But you'd be surprised how much shit somebody will walk through if they want to work there.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a good way, right? If they are with you, if they got your back, right? And you've proven in times or whatever that, hey, I got you. Like, we're going to, like when I go up, you go up, like, let's do this together type deal. Like, you'll have some people that'll stick with you through some, you know, obviously, if you stop paying people, they're going to leave, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, you might not. So that's something to think about, because I think when people think of scale, they get scared, right? And, you know, to your, point, Jason, years ago and even in the beginning of the podcast when we started doing this, you mentioned that, you know, sometimes in the HVAC business, you can build a certain team where you're going to net as much as a company that's doing three times more than you. They just got a bigger ship, right? Where it depends what you want, but that's not what we're talking about today, what you want. Exactly. We're talking about scaling, right?
Yep.
And you're going to have to go through scary shit. You're going to have to keep people on when you don't know what's going to happen, because you
100%.
You shouldn't be comfortable. You're not going to be comfortable all the time.
No, not at all. It's not for the faint of heart. And that's, that's really one of the interesting points about, trying to scale with good technicians, and you know, having that sense of a good culture to where you know guys have been with you for 5 years, because there's one thing Tony Robbins speaks a lot of, and that's that he talks about the seven basic human needs, right? And one of them is security. You know, you got love and you got significance and things like that, but security is one of them. Now, the pay, like you were saying, is not typically, they can get that pay. Honestly, there's that other saying that's out there, right? 1% or loyal employees only gain a 1% increase each year, where unloyal employees can get a 40% increase. So don't think your pay is going to keep them there, because they can jump to Joe Schmo and get the same thing, if not more.
Correct.
Because statistically, it's been proven that people who job hop will make more money.
Yes.
So the security is not the pay. The security is going to be the fact that somebody knows that they can come in, their job, they're not on the chopping block. They don't got to worry about, you know, down the road, you know, their owner flying off the handle because he has emotional issues.
Correct.
I've seen that.
Tom, were you?
It used to be funny that, you know, when you were hiring somebody, you wanted to see them 10 years or 15 years at a job. Yeah. And now you see somebody at, you know, I'm interviewing and hiring people for myself, and I'm seeing like 2 year max.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, why did you leave here for a better job? Why'd you leave here for a better job? Why'd you leave here for a better job? That's the chic thing to do in the younger generation, as opposed to the older generation wanting to be there 10, 15, 20, 25 years.
Exactly. I mean, you wouldn't even be looked at if you had a year. If you had that serial job hopping on your resume, nobody would even look at you back in the day, because they knew you wouldn't last long. And to this day, I still don't. I mean, there'll be a few people that come across my desk and I'm like, I ain't touching that. But then there's some, I'm like, man, they've been doing this 10 years. So now it's the length of experience, not with an employee. And you're just hoping your culture changes their mind to keep them around.
Correct. Yeah, that's a whole different ball of wax there. Because that is like, there's guys that have like full transparency, guys. I've told my wife to do this.
Yeah.
She works
absolutely.
And my wife is a fucking rock star.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just not because she's my wife. Like, I talk shit.
Right.
It was there to talk shit. She knows
exactly. Yeah.
She knows it. Absolutely. She's terrible. She's not. She is phenomenal. And she has been. She was always book smart through school. She always, I was always cheating off her in chemistry. A little background.
Yeah, that's it. I've
been with my wife since I was 15. So,
That's awesome.
But anyway, she works for the Mayo Clinic. If anybody knows that, right? It's
the
nicest hospital in the world, literally world. And but you know, it's very. She's moved up a lot in the years she's been there, but. Because of the Mayo is very strict with years of experience. So because of years of experience, because she's 4 or 5 years in whatever, right, after college and everything. But so they only jump your – so when she gets jumped to a new position, they'll always put you at the bottom of the base pay scale, the lowest
amount. Exactly.
And, like, I know for a fact that if she were to take – for what she does, she runs a lab at Mayo, like 20-something people for a longest time, and now she audits, which is a different thing, but whatever. I know for a fact, if she were to jump to a private company, right, she could double what she makes right now.
Absolutely.
Now, she's not the type of person that does that, so she hasn't taken me up on that yet. But she's got that thing that you don't really find with loyalty to her team or whatever. But
and security, right?
Yeah, correct. And
security. That is
without a doubt, because that is something massive for Mayo as well. It's not going anywhere.
No, exactly. She's going to
the chopping block.
And they know that.
Yeah, healthcare is phenomenal, right? So it's like, you know, but anyway, to your point, to the point of like how that, you know, not to go off track here, but in terms of hiring, that is definitely a thing. Like, there are guys that make videos that go viral that are like, hey, wait this long and then go. Wait this long and then go.
Absolutely.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, and it happens all the time. And I'm not going to lie, because and the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I had to have a talk with the owners of my current client. About a year ago, and we had two really good installers, and this is a true story. They came to us and they said, hey, listen, we want $35 an hour. And I had just given them a raise, $230. I just gave them a $5 raise.
Yeah.
And it was 6 months later, like, hey, I want $35 an hour. I'm not dumb. I already knew they were looking around. I stare at, you know, the job postings all the time. They knew they could go elsewhere and get more, which they absolutely could.
Yep.
They had like 4 years experience in install. And the owner said, I don't think they're ready and we're not going to. And I said, okay, that's your call. Here's my take on it. It's going to cost us a lot more money to train somebody new. And we have no clue how they're going to adapt to our culture or be part of the culture.
Yeah.
They could come in, hate us, cause a huge stink, poison the waters. I mean, it can be when you bring somebody new into your family, it can be a problem.
Correct.
And you got to be really careful.
Agreed.
And you don't know what you're getting.
Yeah.
And, We told them no. Within 3 weeks, we had their notices. Both of them walked. Since then, no joke, since then, every installer we brought in has been $40 plus, and they haven't even stuck. It's been a nightmare dealing with the situation. So that's probably the extreme. It just sucks because it's real life for me.
Yeah.
It's really one of the things. We got people in. They were horrible. They had horrible attitudes. Just they wanted everything done on a silver platter for them. They didn't know our culture. They just weren't used to our processes. I mean, and it was like they wanted all the tools in their truck. And it's like, holy crap, like that's $28,000 worth of tools that we do give. And then, you know, so there's so many different things that can come into play. Give your guy, if he comes in and he asks it for $5 an hour, give him the $5 if it's within reason. He's been with you and you know that he's still. Number one, you can make him happy. He's now going to be more loyal to your company, and you already know what to expect. Yep. So save yourself a headache.
I agree with that. There's been a few people on my team that have done the same thing that, you know, they'll come and they'll ask. As long as it's within reason, which it always has been, it's not – because you have a fine line as the owner too, right? Because if it's like, oh, absolutely have anything in the world, then it's like
– Yeah.
Envelope, right? So there's a fine line, but like – doing it without hesitation, but knowing that there are, but still, you know, they know that there are limits, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's like, hey, you do a great job. I've had had that happen multiple times. I'm like, you know, they've submitted a request. You know, we'll go over like a mini performance review. And then what with that raise, what I expect out of them more or where they need to do better. And then I'll give it to them.
Yeah. So you want to hear it. And that's a good way to do it. So you want to hear something that kind of shocks somebody. I had that conversation with an individual and I looked at him, I said, what's your end dollar amount? Like, okay, we're talking about getting you another $2 an hour. Like you want to get to 32. I get that. But where do you ultimately want to be? Like what would make you happy to where I don't got to have this conversation with you again?
Correct.
And they ended up coming back. They said, yeah, I just want 35 an hour. I said, dude, let's just do 35 right now and you stick around. How's that sound? And he said, okay. And I was like, all right, well, we just beat the whole thing, or we got around the whole bush, because I knew in another 6 months he's going to come to me again. Exactly. I said, dude, you do great here. You do good here. I already know you're doing well. I think you're worth this much. You didn't give me a number that was way out of the ballpark.
Yes.
You know, you're being realistic. If you told me $75 an hour, I would have said, man, you're dreaming, right? But you came within reason. So I have no problem giving that to somebody. But when you do things like that, that are just out of the norm, and it can really kind of, it's almost like brushing your teeth in the morning with your left hand. You kind of start to reprogram your brain.
Yeah.
And if you can do that with your employees, I don't know if you guys ever tried it, but it's kind of jacked up. So you guys got to check it out. There's a whole study out there. If you want to reprogram your brain and have actual things start really taking place in your life, wake up and they try to brush your teeth with your left hand, say certain things 10 times over in the morning, and then do it 3 times a day. And literally things will start to, it's nuts how it happens. There's a whole documentary on it. But anyways, if you start to do that and you can shock kind of the system within your organization with things like that, that you know somebody's worth a wage, don't wait for them to come to you. You go to them. You're going to create such a good culture inside of that. So a lot of business owners, unfortunately, that's that 1% to 40% rule, is they wait so long. And then it creates a bad culture. And you can't scale because you're always bringing new hires in. And you have no clue what to expect. Yep. You have no clue how they can handle lead volume. Are they willing to take that 6 o'clock call, right? I mean, nowadays you got these kids in trades that don't even want to work past 5 p.m. Yeah. I'm like, dude, this isn't a bank, right? So that's really kind of, you know, trying to get back to the whole scaling side. That's where it can affect you. So some tips.
I know I've hired some people recently, and with what we do is not hard, but there's a lot of moving parts. And, you know, I've always, you know, tried to pay a good value at the same time, try to get the most for my money and what have you. But what I've realized now is, $2 is a small, an extra hour, $2 more an hour is far worse than what you're getting at this number versus this number. It just sounds so much better.
Yeah. And that's all people want. Because what's another need, right? Is to feel wanted or worth, right? Correct. To feel your worth. And that's another human nature or human need that we all have. And at the end of the day, you can do it with words. Sometimes you do it with a dollar amount. A lot of people associate success with dollars, right? With their bank account. It's the culture we're raised in.
Yeah.
And then today, everybody's affected and bombarded with these TikToks of, I can't afford to live. I can't afford to do this. And I make X amount of dollars, right? And I see that. And somebody who controls other people's pay, you see that and you start to wonder. You know, we don't live with our head in the sand,
right.
You know, and we're trying to do the best we can to contribute. And as long as the performance is there, let's do this together as a unit, right? Yep. And not as an individual.
100%.
Well, and some people you can talk to and explain to them is like, look, you know, I can't pay you $40 an hour, you know, that's out of my budget. And, you know, ultimately the group, the unit has to survive.
Exactly. Yep. Show them the numbers. 100%. Yeah. That's one thing that I've done too is, by the way, Tom, you got to watch it. You're hitting your word count on this podcast. So you've watched it.
Exactly. I'm hitting my word count.
Yep. This might be the most active we've ever had you here. So you gotta just talk
about it. We talked about financing. That was amazing.
That's awesome.
I was going to say one thing that I've done. I've done a lot of stuff because it was probably really, really, this last year and a half, because once again, you know, guys that are listening to the podcast, I mean, we all, you know, run businesses outside of this podcast. And for me, I'm new. I mean, I'm only 26 years old. And It was just this last year where I really kind of figured out, like, you always hear, oh, it's all about the team. It's all about the team, right? And, like, I didn't know anything about that. Like, I had a super small team. I was still doing 80% of the stuff. But then when I figured out as an owner how to leverage people and time in a good way, not in a bad way.
Right.
But it's like, holy shit, it is all about the team.
Yeah.
Right. So one thing that I've done for, and we're getting more in like employees and pay here, but that's fine. One thing I've done is when people do come and they ask, you know, for a raise or whatever they're looking for. Like I said, I'll automatically go back in. I'll show them what, you know, if it's reasonable, I'll give it to them, and they're a good performer, right? I give it to them. And then I'll, or if they're not, I'll say, hey, I need to see this before you get it. Right. Yeah. But, another thing I've done is I've tied it all back to their, I've let them see the back end and how they need to think, because how I'm thinking, and I'm like, hey, this is how much your role attributes to revenue.
Yep. Exactly.
Right? And the more that you can contribute here, the more that I can pay you. Cause that's how this works. Right.
Yep.
And cause like, especially in big corporations, like you don't understand, the employee doesn't understand. What do you mean you can't pay me more?
Yeah.
Johnny's getting more. Johnny sells 8 times what you do. Johnny has upsells all year long. Yep. Johnny does a fantastic job. I don't have back charges. Johnny, whatever. Right?
So WNBA versus the NBA, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's another thing too, I think, that would really help. It really helps with scale when you're trying to grow your team internally. And even if you need your internal team to scale up, it's like, hey, this is what I need you to do to get to the, I can pay you this. Rising tide raises all ships. I can pay you this, but I need to see this from you. And this is how it attributes to revenue. That's why I can pay you more. I want to split the pie with you guys. Yep. As the owner, I'm the last one that gets paid.
That's it. Yeah.
You're first, right?
Yeah.
I get the short end of the stick when we have a shit month.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody else walks on with a negative.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
I love it. And that's all great points. And, you know, again, it comes back down to scaling. So,
correct.
And, you know, if you can be able to do that and keep everybody fully transparent.
Yeah.
Do you see it when you're talking to your team and, you know, collectively you get two or three people of like wanting raises and things like that? Do you see the negative to go to them and say, look, here we are right now, revenue wise. And for me to take that, for us as a company to take the next leap, we got to go from this many installs to this many installs.
Yep.
And once we get from here to here, we got a lot more gross margin and we have the ability to pay more and maybe some bonuses here and there. And maybe we have a little cookout, whatever like that. But putting it on them to say, look, we're here and we need to get here, and then everybody wins. I mean, do you see that to be a negative?
I don't.
No. So usually for me, I don't think that's a negative. I do stay clear some of that because a lot of that's out of their control. And that's when you'll get that conversation. Well, you know, that's up to you. And then they'll say, well, Bob's oil and gas over there, they got their shit together. So I'll just, sounds like you guys should suss. I'll go. But to your point, no, it's very valid to speak to that. We're 100% being, I like Colton's point, you've got to be 100% transparent.
And it depends who you're talking to, right? If you're talking to a desk assistant that has no control over any of that, it's just like, well, shit, okay, I'll just sit here and wait for you guys to get your stuff together. Or am I telling somebody that can make a difference, you know?
Yeah. And you got to think, it's based off skill, too. And I'll give a very quick example because I know we're going to be wrapping up here. Yeah. Is I have a maintenance guy that comes to me, and he does phenomenal in maintenance. And he's like, dude, he's like, I really want to make, you know, $40 an hour. And I said, dude, that's a production role, right? I can get you there. And you have the set, but he doesn't want to do any producing. He just wants to stay inside of maintenance and turn a screwdriver. And I say, there is a level, right? We are going to be capped out at some point in this role. If you want to expand your skill set, I can move you over here and I'm more than happy to do so. That way you can have access to that $50-$55 an hour.
Right.
So there's those conversations that got to be had. But some people, they want to limit themselves and say, no, I just want to sit on a phone, or no, I just want to turn a screwdriver. At the end of the day, their pay is going to be capped out at some point.
Yep, 100%. No, I think I completely agree. So, and like I said, we kind of went into a lot of hiring stuff, but that, I mean, that is scaling, right?
Oh, 100%. Because you're not going to keep them around if you don't know what you're doing.
Keeping them around, just getting them in the first place, helping them evolve as a, you know, as a person.
Develop culture.
Exactly. 100%.
You want to have the first way to have your whole entire team start complaining and have one bad apple spoil the whole cart. You do it with pay.
Exactly. Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. There's a lot of things to keep a fine line on. And I think that's another thing too, to if you are scaling, to not make sure when you're in the position where you feel like everything's in the right place, that you have you also have those tiers of management as well, that are those owners that can keep control over that. Because if you start pushing the envelope hard, right, and you're pushing on, as the owner, you're pushing on sales or new departments or new locations, you're going to be gone. You're going to be detached, right? Because you cannot do all of that, right? You have a big, big organism here. So you have to make sure you have those tiers that are keeping those things in line as well. And if you can find the right people, right, to where no matter what, when you're in a position where you're ready to scale, you need to have at least one or two winners with you. Right. Yeah. Because you need, period, to even be in and say, oh, I want to scale. You have to have these people. But then ideally, if you can have those individuals under them as well. Once again, it's just, I don't want to go down on finding people. But if, ideally, if you have those individuals who can keep tabs on themselves, right. So you have that core group, and it's like, okay, now we can push forward pretty heavy. And then you're going to look at all the aspects in terms of multi-location and multiple different verticals and different options that you can do. And you can tie into that. But
yeah. And you know what, really, in a quick point, you want to know a really good thing with having that tier system is, as an owner, you have to remove yourself from kind of the basic nuances of the business and the day to day.
Correct.
Because when you have to make, you want to be the person that the big decisions come from, because your leadership team needs somebody to fall back to. Mm-hmm. And that's a big problem that a lot of these companies that are in that 4 to 6 million mark, they don't have that leadership structure put in place. So you typically got your main guy that's delivering DA, delivering promotions, but then trying to teach, coach, and train. If you're building that really bad setup and you got that friction between you and another person, it's really going to be tough to teach, coach, and train somebody. And on the same flip, if you got, you know, a separate entity to where you can say, hey, listen, you manage all the coaching, teaching, and training, and then this side is going to handle all the DA side of things, you're going to have a lot better of a dynamic, because sometimes somebody has to play the devil, and you know, there's no light without dark at the end of the day, but you can't have light and dark be the same.
No, absolutely. I agree. Tom, I know we're kind of getting to the end of our time here. Do you have anything else to kind of wrap up, and then we'll kind of make a round and see if we touched on everything here?
I'm looking for my sign that people buy payment.
I knew it.
Sign, folks. Lost. Imagine that there's a people buy payments sign up there. You know, Tom,
just know it lives in spirit.
I have a love hate relationship with you, because I say that all the damn time now.
I do. Yeah, I do it as well. almost every day.
I do that all the time.
That's it.
But yeah, on my side, I mean, just to, you know, just closing thoughts here. Like I said at the beginning of the call, there is an unbelievable amount of factors that go into it. So
yeah.
Making sure you know what those are, keeping tabs on them, making sure you're under control, but you're not, sometimes you're not going to feel like you are.
Yeah.
And that shit, you know, that's the way it goes. If you've grown a business at all in any capacity in the past, it is not comfortable. So just making sure you're doing that properly and you have the right people behind you. Otherwise, Jason, anything else from you, brother?
Yeah, no, man. Closing thoughts is definitely just identify where you currently are with capacity. And you got to find where it's at. Just because you have a lead problem doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. It means you're ready for the next step sometimes. And that's what you really need to identify, is where you're at. Just monitor where your revenue is coming from, and that'll tell you pretty much everything.
100%. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, we will catch you next time. Tom's actually going to be gone the next 3 weeks. He's leaving. He's going to somewhere we don't even know. He's on vacation. He's gone. See you later.
Yeah. All that undercover stuff he does.
Hey, guys, I got to jump. I got to grab this call real quick.
Oh, look at him. He's going now.
Yeah, he's already going.
Guys, sorry. We'll see you on the next one.
That's his GM.